Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Start out reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 9, after we look at the vision. You know, in Matthew 11, 12, it says, "The kingdom of God suffers violence, for since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Now pay attention to me. If you are in a church that is advancing God's kingdom, you are going to be violently opposed. Are you listening to me? And you're going to have to understand some things about your new life. And to understand that, it takes you pursuing that and seeking that and going after that. So when you understand that and you pursue that, it changes your whole world. You begin to live an entire different way, completely different way. So we're going to look at this. Now we're going to read our vision. Let's read our vision. To build a people who are establishing God's word, advancing His kingdom. Oh! A body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we're up to. So has anybody had anything going on this week? If you have, that's a good sign. God is helping you. He wants you to be dependent on Him moment by moment. Step by step, He wants you to be dependent on Him. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what we're talking about today, is the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's go to Romans 12. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts and callings of God. Let's look at this. Romans 12, 3 through 9. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Wait, stop. Everybody say, "Let us use them." Everybody in here has a gift. He's telling us to let us use them. All right? Now look. "Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness."
Hallelujah.
Oh my gosh. He says we're to show mercy with cheerfulness. That has to be a gift. Because people don't want to show mercy. People want to retaliate. They want to get you told. But you got to be in the body to understand how to respond. That I need a gift from heaven to help me to respond. Okay. So, here's the next one. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Okay. In this portion of scripture in Romans, these are the God-created gifts. There's God-created gifts, there's the Holy Spirit gifts, and then there's the ministry gifts. The Holy Spirit gifts are in 1 Corinthians 12. We've been looking at that. And then, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 12. And in Ephesians, there's the ministry gifts. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Those were given by Jesus. So there's the Trinity right there. God-given gifts through creation, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 9, or 2 Corinthians 9, ministry of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4, ministry of Jesus. The five gifts of ministry. All right? Make sense?
Amen.
So now look. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:6 real quick. Remember he said, let us use those gifts, right? Now, it says, therefore, I remind you, Paul's talking to Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now look what he says. Therefore, I remind you to stir up. The phrase stir up in Greek literally means to kindle afresh or to fan the flame. To kindle afresh or to fan the flame. So now think about it. If you stir up something, you stir up something fresh, right? In Hebrews chapter 10, he says that we are to not forsake the assembling together of ourselves, all the more as we see the day approaching. But just before that, he says, we're to stir up love and good works. Stir up means kindle afresh, fan the flame. See, by coming together, we stir up fresh, stir up love, he says. This is the agape love. You can't get the agape. You can't get that on your own. That's a gift from God. Am I making sense? He wants you to stir up the gift of God, the love of God. You see that? In love. For good works, so you can do the work God created you for. You see this? That's why it's important that we gather and connect, because these gifts are going to be distributed and they're flowing. Now, are you with me? Okay. Now, he says in 1 Timothy 4:14, everybody say gift. You know what the gift, the Greek word for gift is? It's the word charisma. Charisma. So, everybody has a gift, and everybody has charisma. Did you hear that? So, guess what? If people ask you, are you charismatic? You better believe it. People say, well, I don't want to go to that church. They're charismatic over there. All kinds of gifts going on over there. That's where you want to be. That's where you understand and walk in the Spirit. Is this making sense? If there's no gifts in there, you better get out of there. Because somebody's trying to do something in the flesh. We making sense? Okay. So now look what he says in 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Do not neglect the gift which is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now watch. So neglect, when we neglect something, that's more than ignoring it, right? We're neglecting it. So, you all familiar with the verse 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So, sound mind is the Greek word. See, the reason we always say Greek is because the New Testament was written in Greek. And in order to really capture the revelation, we have to get the Greek meaning and etymology of the word. So now, the word sound mind is the word sophrenio. Sophreno. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Means sound mind. Okay? Now, phreno carries the idea. Have you heard of the word schizophreno? Hearing that? That's not a sound mind. Schizos scattered and up and down and all over, right? But when it's sound, it's stable. Now look. Sound mind carries the word phreno, and it carries the idea of a person's intelligence, the total frame of thinking, rationale, logic, emotions, because your emotions reside in your mind. And your mind is not your brain. Did you hear me? I used to think years ago, my mind was my brain. Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is in your mind is in your soul. Your brain is an organ that God has used and created to help us connect with the mind to communicate thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. So this word phreno refers to every part of the human mind. The process, it includes all the process that engages in making the mind function and come to conclusions. When your mind is guarded by the Word of God, that's why it says we're to receive with meekness the implanted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. In James 1:21, save means sozo. To be made whole from many scattered parts. When your mind is being saved, and you're being saved, it brings your thoughts into captivity to obey Christ. And now you have a sound mind. A sound mind. Now look. So when the word, let me say, when your mind is guarded by the word of God, you think differently. Can anybody attest to that? You see, when you think differently, it's because you're renewing your mind. You don't think the way you used to think. Because you used to think what the devil wanted you to think. Because you were spiritually of your father, the devil. Well, nobody ever told me that. You need to get in church. Because until you're born again, that's when you become, when God becomes your father. God becomes your father when you're born again, spiritually. When you become born again, now God's your father. That's why it says we were born not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because the flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. For the grass withers, and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So when your mind is guarded by the word of God, now look, it safeguards your mind. It safeguards your emotions. safeguards your life. It defends your mind from demonic assault. And it shields you from arrows the enemy may try to shoot in your direction. Fiery darts were the arrows that they used to shoot. Called them fiery darts. They were like arrows. They would shoot them at the enemy. And they would be dipped in a poisonous solution. And when it penetrated the skin, it would poison them and they would die. But what happens is people can inject poison in you through words and poison your system and cause you to think in such a way it destroys your life. Now, you guys didn't hear that. Maybe I should just quit. Did you catch that? You got to watch who you're listening to and who you're allowing to speak into your life. Including me. You better be taking notes on what I'm saying and make sure it's lining up with that Bible. Now watch. Because we all have a spirit of fear in us. And that will take you to a place you don't want to be. When you begin to live a life of faith, listen to me, and that's what advances God's kingdom. When you begin to live a life of faith, when you reach out to do the impossible, see that? With God, all things are possible by faith. When you reach out to do the impossible, the enemy will try to assault you mentally and emotionally and attempt to stop you and to stop your progress. And you will say, I can't do this. And that's just what he wants you to say. Did you hear me? So now think about this. This is why we got to understand this idea of these gifts. Now, so he says not to neglect. Do not neglect the gift. The gift, okay? So now look. What's the antonym for the word neglect? You want to hear it? That would be the opposite, the antithesis of the word neglect. Accomplish, achieve, to take action, to care for, to complete, to conclude, to consider, to consummate. That's the opposite of neglect. Those are words I like. How about you? I want to accomplish my purpose in this life. I want to achieve what God has put me here on this earth for. That won't happen when we neglect the gift that's in us. Now let's look at what neglect means. This is what neglect means. Remember we talked about ignorance past couple weeks ago. Now look, neglect means breach, to disdain, to dismiss, to disregard, to discount, to ignore, to underestimate, to overlook, to undervalue, to scorn, to despise. That's what neglect means. I'm just saying. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's quietness. Church. Now look. It is serious and weighty to neglect what God has entrusted to you. This gift he's put in you. Everyone has a gift. We suffer loss when we neglect the gift that God has put in us. I'm here to tell you, I believe, This is my opinion and what I believe and see. I see people depressed. I see people discouraged. I see people on medication sometimes simply because they're neglecting the gift that God has put in them.
Amen.
Because when you are operating and functioning in the gift that God has given you, there's fulfillment, there's a sound mind, there's peace, there's the will of God, there's joy, unspeakable joy. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Let us stir up love. Hebrews 10. Stir up love and good works, right? Now think about this. Let's go back to the word charisma, gift. A spiritual endowment. In Vine's expository, I use the vines all the time on biblical words. This is what it means. The word gift. A gift of grace endowed upon believers by the operation of the Holy Spirit. The word charisma describes, spiritual abilities with which God equips believers. Spiritual abilities with which God equips believers. Gifts, right? Now, so let's say gifts are tools. Gifts are tools to accomplish the will of God. So let's just say I'm building something and I need to hammer a nail. Got a big board out there. I need to put it together with another board. So now I got a hammer laying right there. I said, nah, I'm not going to use that tool. I'm going to use what I got. I'm going to drive that nail in there. Kwam! Yowzers. You see, that's the way life is. That's the way you're trying to live life. You're trying to hammer in stuff. It's not going to fit or go. Because you're using the wrong tools. But when you use your gift, am I making sense? Am I? It'll wear you out. Ever feel like you're bumping your head against the wall? Raising children, trying to make ends meet, all these things happening. That's what it's like. It'll wear you out. But when you get God involved and you get your gifts are involved and you get connected, things start making sense. Okay, now let's look at this. Nothing in the realm of the Spirit is accomplished without charisma. Supernatural ability of God. We need the supernatural to accomplish what God has given us. In Romans 11, 1, Paul said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Established. That word established has to do with monument, something that people come and look at and have great memories of the past, of the way that the history behind that which was established. That's the way I want people, I want my kids to look at me at my funeral. I want them to know daddy was established. You see that? Tools. These are the tools that the Spirit equips and enables God's children to bring forth His will. His will. Remember, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. This is what the word fear is in the Greek language. D-E-I-L-I-A. Dilia. You want to say that? Dilia. You know what it means? Timidity. Cowardness. To shrink back. Did you hear me? Timidity. Cowardness. To shrink back. In Revelation 21, cowardness is the first thing that God mentions that will spend its in hell. God's not looking for Howard the coward. When you're coward, you know why you're coward? Because you're afraid of what other people think. I've had people come to this church and get on fire, tell me everything I wanted to hear. And then going gets tough. Their old friends start chirping. What are you going to that church hall? What? Why do you go there? Why is this going? No wonder. And they're just partying it up and hooping it up. Are you listening to me? When you're trying to get your life together, it takes you and persistence seeking God with everything you have to get your life in line with His will. And it takes effort. Are you with me? Well, it's not going to just fall on you because you're cute or how you look. You still glad you came? Cowardness. Timidity. You know what it is? You're afraid of what people think. And so you'll shrink back. Ah, this is too much. When it's not too much. We need each other to accomplish this thing. It says the fear of man is a snare. Proverbs 29:25. It's a snare. And the snare means trap. That stuff traps you. And anytime the word snare is mentioned, it has to do with the devil's will. You want to do the devil's will. You want people to like you. I don't need people to like me. We got to get rid of the need to be liked. Oh, he's too much. You see, when you know who loves you and you know you're loved, that makes you secure. That takes God's wisdom. It says in Isaiah 33, verse 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your days. When you have God's wisdom, it makes you stable. And God's love is His wisdom. And when you know that, I know Donita loves me. Are you with me? I know Donita loves me. And I know my son loves me and my daughter loves me. When you know who loves you, it makes you secure. You don't have to please everybody and have that need to be liked. What is it with this need to be liked? Because we don't like rejection. You see, that's what you really fear. You fear the rejection. And that's what, if fear takes you back into being under the devil's will. Am I talking to the right people? And that's what happens. You don't like the rejection, so you shrink back. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to do God's will, you're going to be rejected. You're going to face rejection in this life.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.